James from Worthing. I just really wanted to ask the panel generally, come the end of the transfer window, how confident are you that we'll still be able to retain the services of our players, given the amount of interest in them currently? Obviously, Anthony Knockhart, Dale Stevens, Lewis Dunk, Behram Kiel.
Tony, do you want to start off on that one?
First of all, because we were so successful last season and some of our players performed exceptionally well, it's no surprise that a lot of other clubs are interested in our best players. I mean, it's always the case, any club's best players, there's going to be clubs in higher divisions interested, but particularly because we did so well and obviously we didn't get promoted. Our line is always the same, that we really want to keep the squad of players which did so magnificently last season together as much as possible to give us the best chance of promotion. But on the other side, I'm not saying there's any guarantees, because I don't think any club in the world, perhaps outside of Real Madrid and Barcelona, can give those sorts of guarantees. So we're just going to carry on, do our business, and we are not only looking to keep our best players, we are still looking to strengthen the squad. So that's the best I can say at this stage, and obviously, the next 4 weeks, it will be a long 4 weeks for all of us, and we'll see where we are on the 1st of September.
I was just bringing the other two guys in, Paul and Chris. I don't know who wants to maybe go first. Changes to the loan system this year, how much of an effect will that have on the transfer window and, of course, your dealings right across the season?
Chris, do you want to... I think probably in our position at the moment, it's we're quite healthy. Mm-hmm. I think what we have done, of course, over the last couple of seasons, and even in my time here, we have brought players in on loan. I think we are in a healthier position if I'm looking at where we are as a squad, because we recruited so well and so many last summer and again in January. What we are looking to do is we're looking to finish this window having the best squad that we can. And at the moment, having brought in Oliver Norwood in midfield, who's a very good, although a young player, very experienced player at this level, and will be a wonderful addition to our squad. We are not looking to bring in many more, and I'm very confident that by the end of this window that we would have brought in, whether it's the exact names that we want or the first targets that we want, but I'm very confident that we will have the squad re-numbers that we want. And that might put us in a position where obviously the loan players are limited, and it's the fact that we can't bring any loan players in from window to window. I don't think it'll have that big an effect on us.
So it's also affected our strategy for bringing in younger players, because we haven't got the emergency loan to fall back on if we get injuries that clearly we're not expecting. So you'll see the under 21, under 23 group is stronger this year. We brought in a couple of young players to supplement that. And that is effectively our emergency loan, or Chris's emergency loan market. We've got to look to our own, which is the good thing about the new system. And you could see this season one or two players emerge out of that group that Chris really likes the look of from training and actually become part of that senior squad. So that's the benefit of the emergency loan change. The downside is you can't dip into the market at short notice.
And probably just another note, just of course, because we have our supporters here, the club have very much invested in the under-21s, and I think there's something that goes in line with our academy Category 1 status, that we want to be bringing young players in. And there are wonderful opportunities for you as our supporters to see the under-23 games now, where although there's a possibility of having three overage players predominantly right through the season, it has been probably an under 21, under 20 team. And it's a real good opportunity. I think we've got a game coming up at the Amex just before the...
Just around the international break, I think.
International break, and it'll be a wonderful opportunity for you to see them.
Okay, lovely. We've got another one. Oh, actually, got two over this side and the left. You want to just at the front there. Yeah.
Hi. Yeah, Baz from Brighton. Chris, what position is Bruno going to be playing on Saturday? And also, if he is playing right back, are you likely to be bringing in someone from the development squad to play in centre back?
This is going out live, isn't it?
I don't think your mic's working, actually. I think. Oh, sorry about that. Then can't help you there, Chris. I'm afraid.
No, I would like to help you out there, but what I can tell you is that Bruno will be playing.
Okay, let's get just back in here. Excellent.
Hi. Excuse the deep voice, but I'm Katharina from Burgess Hill. And I've got a question for Paul and Tony and Chris. Got to say, it was a fantastic season last year. Thank you so much for all of your efforts. It was absolutely amazing. I really think that we are destined for big things this season, especially as it looked like we were going to nearly do a deal worth eight big ones. My actual question is this. I hope that my chicken pie is still going to be on the menu in the coming season. And by the way, Chris, can I have some more goals, please?
Well, Katharina, we speak a lot during the season, and I can assure everyone that can't see Katharina, she's a lot better looking than her dad, I can tell you. as for the chicken pie, we have this discussion regularly. And I speak to Joe at Piglets as often as I can to make sure that that chicken pie is available for you. You've just got to get your dad to pay for it, okay?
We glided over the goals issue there. Question for Chris here from Eamon. Does the attempt to sign Alex Pritchard, is that a move away from the traditional 4-4-2 to a more flexible system, 4-3-3 be it, or 4-5-1, but with a number 10 behind a target man like a Murray or Hemed? Is that the way you see yourself going? That's from Eamon.
Yes, good question. Just before that question, Katharina was one of the first supporters I saw when I arrived, and probably one of the last I saw on that final day. Thank you for your support. She's cheers us on. The players very much appreciate the support that she gives us, and we look forward to seeing you this season. As regards Alex Pritchard, where I saw myself playing him was very much as a number 10, and from having seen him play several times for Tottenham's under 21 side, and probably more so for Brentford the season before last, he's somebody that can play right across the front. So he certainly can play in the wide areas or as a number 10. I think he's absolutely better suited as a number 10. And my thoughts were very much to play him high up the park. So as most of you would know, we played predominantly, not all the time, but predominantly a form of 4-4-2. Generally, when it was Hemed and Baldock, they tend to play a little bit different. Baldock tends to drop in a little bit more. So it's a form of 4-4-2, whether that be 4-4-1-1 or 4-4-2. And I saw Alex Pritchard, in effect, playing in some ways a little bit like Sam Baldock. So there wouldn't have been a dramatic change. Maybe a different type of player, but certainly wouldn't have been a dramatic change in the way we played.
Thank you, Chris. 23 more minutes to get your questions to the panel here. The chairman, Tony Bloom, the manager, Chris Hughton, and the chief executive, Paul Barber, here at the Amex live on this Albion Fans Forum. Right, let's head to the back on the left-hand side.
Hi, guys. Darren from Brighton. I'd just like a quick question for Chris, please. Jack Harper, he seems to be on fire pre-season. Can we look forward to maybe seeing him in the front side this year?
I hope so, and that's the aim, not just for him, but for several players in the under-21s that are coming of age. And we have had certainly a good opportunity this pre-season to look at a few of the young ones. Ben White has been involved. Ben Hall, who we brought in the summer. James Tilley, but not so much, and some of you might remember James made his debut the last game of the season before up at Middlesbrough. So we have some good talent and gifted talent in that under-21 squad. Unfortunately for Jack, when he came with an injury that we were aware of. And what we knew was that it was going to be a question of him getting through last season, really getting to know the type of player that he was, and probably more so getting him fully fit and injury free. So yes, he's had a good pre-season. There's a very, very good challenge for him, as there are with a lot of the under-21s, is that can they force their way into what is a good squad at the moment, you know? And what we do have in a first team level in the positions that he plays is that we have very, very good competition. So there's a challenge there for him, as there is for a lot of them under-21s.
Thanks, Chris. Okay, anyone else on this knee side? Yep, just down there with Simon.
It's Adrian from Rustington. A question for Chris. With the advent of professional referees coming into the Championship this year, what are your views? Do you think the quality will be better? And is there liaison between the Professional Referees Association and the clubs, given that the referees are going to be professional now?
That's a very good and a very tough question. You would like to think that when a referee turns professional, you would like to think that that would improve the levels. Certainly, I think a big part of, or certainly a part of a referee's role, is to try and put himself in the best possible position that he can. So with that comes, you know, fitness levels. You know, I think looking at the Euros final, the referee in the Euros final was, if you look at Clattenburg in the final, where I thought he was excellent. But one thing about him is that he can get around a football pitch and he can get close to incidents. So I think that's one aspect of it. But I think the relationship that they will have amongst each other, the way that the game is changing now, the new laws, and so you would like to think that's the case. I actually felt that the level this season, and I don't tend to be a manager that rants and raves too much at referees. I know they have a very difficult job, but I thought the standard was a good standard. I thought in the Championship this season. And I think if we can go along them lines, I think if we can improve on that, then I think it's got to be a good thing. But the answer to that one is I don't know.
I mean, in fairness, I mean, just to help Chris out, he doesn't rant and rave about referees, but I do. You know, we have a very good dialogue with the professional referees group and the head of the refereeing at the Football League. So, you know, the one time he probably didn't want to answer his phone was after the game at Middlesbrough. He made the mistake of answering it to me 15 minutes after final whistle. It was probably not a good idea to have called him, but I did. But I think the point Chris makes about the difference between referees being what they were last season and the Champions League, what they will be, is that we can't expect, just because they've become professional, to see things change overnight. There's two issues, I think, for referees from the dialogue I have at the Football League. Is one, their fitness levels. And as Chris said, you know, Clattenburg's fitness level, you know, for the European finals, both of the two that he took this year, were phenomenal. And from a player's and a manager's point of view, if they see a referee up with play, he's in the best possible position to usually make the best decision, although it didn't quite work out in Middlesbrough, did it? You know, from that point of view, you know, their fitness level is going to be improved because they can concentrate full-time on being a referee as opposed to finishing as a, you know, as a patron decorator or a banker or whatever at 2 o'clock and then rushing down to the ground. But the second thing is about just their technical skills on the pitch, and that is going to take a while for professional referees focus totally on being a referee to get better in the Championship. We can't expect a dozen or 18 referees that were amateur referees last year to become that much better overnight just because they're now professional. But it will improve, and we were one of the clubs that supported having professional referees in the Championship.
Great, 15 minutes to go. Mark Forrest up at 8 o'clock live on BBC Sussex. We're also live on Seagulls Player this evening. Let's head to another question just down there on the left-hand side.
Hello there, Matt from Brighton. Basically, last season from February, I think we played one game at Saturday 3 o'clock due to Sky Sports changing all the schedules. Are we basically puppets to Sky Sports now, all the Football League teams, due to money?
Well, Sky represents probably one of our biggest income streams. So like any business, when you have a significant income stream, you've got to look after it. It's a really important source of revenue. It goes to a significant part of the budget that we can put on the pitch. It's true that we've got a contract with Sky that requires us to support their choices of matches. And unfortunately, that can sometimes mean inconvenience for fans, and we know that. There's no escaping that. It's happened for, you know, best part of 25 years. Last season was probably, you know, worse because for the first time we had been featured so many times, and there were, because of that, quite a few changes. I can remember 2 years ago, 3 years ago actually, my second season at the club, the number of emails I got from fans saying, why aren't we on Sky more? And, you know, begging me or, you know, imploring me to get in touch with the league and Sky and start complaining about the number of games Leeds got, the number of games Derby got, and why aren't we getting more? So I did that. And last season, I got a few emails saying, why are we on Sky so much? But, you know, it is a difficult one, because the more successful a side is, the more likely they are to be featured. And the more likely they are to be featured when they're playing good football goes up even further. The income that we get is significant. And it's not just income for us, it's income that trickles down to League One and League Two. And, you know, from our point of view, we remember where we came from in those divisions and how important that Sky money was to us then when we weren't featured on TV. So we've just got to make sure that we look at things in the round. And it's certainly inconvenienced to you guys on a lot of occasions. But again, we've got to get that income from somewhere. It's important.
I know George is trying to sort out a plane back from Newcastle, aren't you, as well? Is that on the list now? I'm only joking. Right, head back over there to Simon.
Hi, I'm James from Hove. This is a question, I think, to all three of you. Barim Kyle and Dale Stevens, how much of a risk do you view it should they not sign a new deal because their contracts are up at the end of next season, with a view to them walking away potentially versus their monetary value now?
I think it's slightly different for two, isn't it? Or do you want to turn around?
Well, obviously, Dale Stevens is a key player for us, and he's only got 1 year left. So it goes without saying, it's obvious we don't want his contract to run out. And we would very much like him to sign a long-term deal. But, to get that signature, it needs two sides to agree. And obviously, it's his prerogative whether he wants to sign or whether he doesn't. So, you know, that's where we're at the moment. We don't like any of our key players, particularly that sort of age, to allow the contracts to run out, but that is the player's prerogative, and obviously he also takes a risk that if he allows that, he could suddenly lose form or get a serious injury, and that could, you know, that could affect him in the future. So, I mean, it goes without saying that the club would love him to sign a new long-term deal, and we've been working on that for quite a while, but we can't force a player to do to sign if he doesn't want to. But he's done fantastically well for us, and we'll just see how that goes over the next month and over the next year.
I know you mentioned Baram, but I think it's not the case with his contract. It's slightly different. You did mention Baram, did you, as well? But I think his contract is obviously isn't up at the end of next season. But I wouldn't want to give anything away. But that's his own.
Baram's in a similar situation. Yeah. He's done superbly for the last 18 months since he joined the club, and yeah, he's got 1 year to run as well. But you know, like all clubs, there'll be the occasional important player whose contract has 1 year to run. It's not unusual, and it's a situation all clubs would prefer not to have, but it's just part and parcel of running a football club.
Okay, lovely. Just around here.
Colette here from Shoreham. Last year I was working in Seville, and I just want to mention, obviously on a personal note, it was great that Brighton on Sky has got to see as much as possible, but also I kept my season ticket, and I've had 7 flights back to Brighton in a year to watch them play, and often I had to change my flight, the times, because of the Sky Sports, so it's pro advantages and disadvantages. But I'd like to mention that I got to see Betis play quite a lot last season, and every chair they had a scarf, and the atmosphere was unbelievable. And I know at the start of the matches here we have Sussex by the Sea on the screen, and maybe just for the first game of the season, especially we are on Sky against Nottingham Forest here at the Amex, we could maybe have a scarf in every seat and have it up like they do at the Kop in Liverpool, maybe create an atmosphere that way. Questions, Tony, maybe for extra revenue from Sky that day.
Cheers, Colette.
Do you want me to help you there, Tony?
I thought you was going to recommend some players.
Yeah. All I would say is that the Forest game obviously is a big anniversary for the stadium, so let's see what happens when you turn up.
Great idea. Okay, just on the near side with Simon, just on there.
Yes, it's Beryl from Hove here. I'm really asking a question on behalf of my 14-year-old grandson, who's on holiday with his parents in the Isle of Wight, but is listening. Devastated that he can't be here.
Should we say hello to him? Go on.
Yes. Hello, Jack. We'll be over to see you tomorrow. He would love to know they had a wonderful togetherness last year. Can you rebuild it for the new season?
Is that for the manager?
Yes. Sorry.
Yes. Well, hello, Jack. I certainly hope you've had a nice time, and he's back tomorrow. Oh, you're going over there. Okay. Well, Granny will see you tomorrow. No, I sincerely hope so. As perhaps I said in the earlier question, I think we were fortunate enough to get a lot of things right last season, and I think amongst that and when results are going well, it's generally a little bit easier to create that atmosphere or to have that good atmosphere. But it did help also that, as I say, we've got a very good group of players. So that's our aim again. Ultimately, it's about trying to get promotion and trying to challenge the best way that we can. And we certainly, having been buoyed on from what we did last season, want to be in that similar position again. You know, it's a nice feeling being at the top end of the table, and of course we was at that top end all season, and certainly it's a pressurised position, but it's the best position to be in, and players want to be under pressure and they want to put each other under pressure, and there isn't anybody in the changing room that doesn't want to have a similar season and hopefully go one step further than what we had last season. So, but we can only do that by getting the results, and that is very much our aim, so I very much hope so.
Thank you, Beryl, and thank you, Jack, for the question as well. Let's head back to Chris. Just 10 more minutes to go, so I would urge you, if you've got a question, raise your hand now.
Hello, I'm Jacomina from Brighton. Is there any way that we can try to keep the fans to the end of the match rather than leaving their seats early, even if we're losing?
Wow. Lock them in.
Could use those scarves to tie them up, maybe.
Well, there's no trains to get them away, isn't
there? That's true. It's a difficult one, Jacomina, because again, it's something that I get written to about quite a lot. And you know, to be honest, I kind of throw it back and say, you know, I can't sort of keep the gates locked. It's really down to you guys. And you know, one thing I do know is a lot of games in the Championship get won and lost in those last 5-6 minutes. So the more support that we can have, particularly here, I mean, the away fans always are brilliant because they've travelled a long way. They stay right to the end, and the players, I hope, and Chris certainly encourages them always to acknowledge the support we have on the road and also here, of course. But those last 5-6 minutes are vital. You know, we want everyone to stay here. And I know people have got other priorities. They've got to get home for various reasons. But, you know, it's a 90-minute game and 95-minute game often. And we need everyone, you know, to stay in the stadium and give the lads as much support as they can.
Okay, Silent.
Hi, it's Tim from Hayward Heath. Paul, a question for you. If I've missed this, I apologise, but weren't you going to talk to the Football League about the playoffs? Now, obviously, I don't think we'll need them this year. We'll be above it. But I do think, not because of last season, I've looked at it for quite a while, I do think it is an unfair system.
Yeah, I did. And the clubs in the Championship agreed to review it during this year. I mean, the summer meeting is where we debate those sort of things, and because of the way the football calendar works, it will take a year now of debate before next summer we vote on whether the system should change. So, yep, I raised it, and interestingly, almost all of the Championship clubs agreed that it had to be reviewed. League One and League Two clubs didn't want it reviewed, but it doesn't matter. We're going to look at it from a Championship point of view because the stakes are so high. You know, to miss out in the way that we did in third place, and then to go into that playoff, having played literally until the 95th or whatever it was, 96th minute of the final game of the season, and have Sheffield Wednesday able to rest 10 players on the same day, and then we go and play them a few days later. There's something not quite right with the system when that happens. They're reviewing it, but these things in football take time, and we're now into what they call the consultation process. So we'll see where we get to.
If it's voted on, Paul, next summer,
voted on for the season?
Straight away. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Got a question. So just at the front here, and then we'll try and get a microphone over to that man over there on the far side as well.
Yeah, one for Chris. With the introduction of straight red cards for foul language, have you introduced a swear box for the players in training?
I actually wasn't aware any of our players swore. It's a very good question, and we have had a meeting with the players. We have had a referee down to speak with the players, because it is very important. And we have found, as other clubs have found, that unnecessary, yellow cards, or certainly red cards, can have an effect on for us in some way, of course, on a season, let alone a result, or a period of time. So, yeah, it is something that not only ourselves but other clubs have to be very, very mindful of. And it was one of a few new rules brought into the game, or legislation brought into the game, and that's something that we will have to be very much on top of. I think we are fortunate, I think, in as regards the yellow cards for dissent. I think we fared quite well last season, but it can be just one incident that at the wrong time that has a big effect. So no swear box, but the players are very, very aware of the new rules.
Okay, great. Just five more minutes left, so a gentleman's been patiently waiting over there.
Hi, it's Mike from Mid-Sussex Seagulls. Quick question. Given our dearth of centre-halves, can someone explain Hoenemeyer's predicament? Seems to be going on for a long, long time.
Yes, he's trained yesterday for the first time for a while, so we're anticipating that he'll be back available probably just after the international break. But he's back training now, which is very good news. It's a very frustrating injury that he had. It was a groin injury which needed a groin repair. We have an exceptionally good medical staff at the club. But of course, what always happens with any injury or majorish injury is that they have to listen to what the specialists, and what our medical team do here, are see the very best specialists. And with Hoenemeyer, it was a surgeon that he saw that was of the very best. It was one that went on longer and more frustrating than we anticipated, but we can only go with what the specialists say. But he is back now, which is good, which will be very helpful for us, because I think in the period of time that he was with us, we saw the type of player he is. He's a very steady, good quality defender, and we're looking forward to getting him back.
Okay, and there's Solly March as well. He's back in training. There's another big boost today.
He's trained for the last 2 days, and we are very much looking forward to having him back.
That'd be great. Okay, well, we're heading towards 8 o'clock. Doesn't seem like any more questions, so maybe Tony, do you want to just finish, maybe saying a few words ahead of the new season? I know we've got just a couple more minutes, just to a message to the fans ahead of the new campaign.
Well, just to thank the fans, as always, for your magnificent support. We had a great season last season, and we're doing everything that we can as a club, as from Chris and the coaches and the squad of players, to go one better this season. Our aim is obviously to get promotion whichever way we do it, and we just need your support, as always, for the next 9 months.
Okay, well, thanks very much for everyone who's listening at home and on the internet as well. Of course, thanks to the panel. Our coverage, of course, will start once again at the weekend. We're live from 2 o'clock in the afternoon as the Albion go to Derby County. Good luck to one and all. Of course, there's commentary available both on BBC Sussex and on Seagulls Player of every game, home and away this season, starting at Derby, and of course for the first home game here next Tuesday against Colchester. I hope everyone has a good season. Thank you very much for listening indeed as well. I think the only, the final thing for us to say for those listeners on the radio that Mark Forrest is up next, but for everybody in the room here, is to put their hands together to give a warm round of applause for your panel tonight. Your chairman, Tony Bloom, Albion chief executive, Paul Barber, and the man at the helm of the squad, of course, the Albion manager, Chris Hughton.